my friends. Good evening. Happy Thursday. So glad that you are here with me tonight. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm feeling so much better. Many of you know I've been experiencing the brain fog for the last 3 weeks or so. Haven't been able to focus, spend a lot of time staring at screens, and incredibly frustrated because I'm used to being able to recall and, you know, part of this job, you have to be quick on your feet. And so it's been very difficult. I've made some adjustments and I feel great tonight. I feel fantastic. So I just wanted to give you that update. Hey, say hello. Let me know where you are listening in from. I'm in another brand new system here. So I need you to text in so I can know that you are here. Some of my top friends and supporters of this program have made it possible to upgrade to where I'm now coming to you with one of the latest MacBook Pros. And the speed is out of this world. I don't know that you'll see much difference on your end, but I'm definitely seeing a lot of difference on my end. So again, please, oh, there we go. There's some comments. Kelly Crofts joining us from Utah. Hey, Kelly, thank you for saying hello. I have a lot of things that I want to talk to you tonight. So it looks like the texting is working, so that the comments is working. So that is good. What's on my list tonight? A couple of things. I'm really kind of baffled on what's going on in DC right now. Really baffled because we are in a crisis nationally and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, maybe just a little bit, but it seems to me your focus should be right now on helping the American people get through this, and you're not. So we have that on the list. Also, Biden's vaccine mandate looks like it is going to actually be put in place. So we'll talk about that. Also, I have this question for you, and maybe you can help me out with the answer. Where are the claims of election fraud in this election that happened a few days ago? Anybody? Where are the election fraud claims? Well, you don't make claims when you win, right? Are they making election fraud claims? I mean, is it Virginia? I mean, where are the election fraud claims? I guess we only make election fraud claims when we win. So we'll talk about that. Also on the broadcast on Tuesday night, we had some people. I mentioned in passing the January 6th riots, and we had a couple of people downplay that event. And it's been eating at me ever since, the things that they said. And so I'm going to deal with those things tonight, and I'm going to set the record straight about what January 6th was. And hopefully those people will tune in and they can hear what we're talking about. It does look like I need to adjust my comments a little bit. They're looking a little bit strange, so I'll fix that after the broadcast. But anyway, anybody else listen? I see other people in. I just only see comments from Kelly. So again, say hello. Let me know where you are listening in from. So here we are. We're in the middle of the pandemic still. And the pandemic is raging on. In fact, here in Utah, the Primary Children's Hospital has said we can't take. In fact, here's the story. They said the hospital is delaying surgeries, procedures amid high patient volume. So we're still in the heat of this thing. And we know there is a supply chain dilemma going on across the country. And it's causing short-term inflation, and you also have a hiring crisis going on. And what is DC focusing on? What is Washington focusing on? And this is a criticism of both parties. Chris says, hey, joining us from Mill Creek. I was actually at lunch with Chris today, and we were having this discussion at lunch. It's what made me think of it. What should both parties and the president of the United States be focusing on right now? How about the supply chain? How about the pandemic? How about the hiring crisis? How about things that are affecting all Americans right now? Am I crazy to think that that's what they should be focusing on? No, what is Nancy Pelosi focusing on? Well, she's focusing on their infrastructure and their social welfare bill. And they'll tell you those things, in their opinion, are there to help Americans. And some of those things will help and some of them won't. But we're in a freaking crisis right now. Infrastructure doesn't get us out of this. These paid family leave doesn't get us out of this. In fact, passing paid family leave during a hiring crisis is probably not a good idea. Making employees more expensive to employers, probably not a good idea right now. But that's what they're focusing on. And I don't hear Republicans either out with their plans. I mean, it's like we're being ignored. It's like this country is in a national crisis and everybody just wants to look past it. I don't understand it. Am I wrong? Have you guys had the same feeling? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And if Biden wants his approval ratings to go up, how about focusing on something that affects everybody today? And I don't know what the possibilities are. We were kind of brainstorming at lunch today. And we're like, what about the National Guard? Can you send the National Guard to the docks? Can you send the military to the docks? There's got to be a way that we can get these ships and all the cargo on them offloaded. Come on. What is going on? Kelly says, what do you do when people are willing to walk off the job because of mandates? Mandates are not the reason for the hiring crisis. Mandates are a percentage, but it is a small percentage. And I'm afraid that when you see these stories nationally about people walking off the job, you get the feeling like, oh my gosh, everybody's walking off of work because of the mandates. It's a pretty small number. I saw one police department talking about their police officers walking off the job. It's like 3%. It adds. There's no question that it adds. And I think that that the federal government issuing this mandate is wrong. I think it's unconstitutional. And it should be left to the states. But the hiring crisis is not because of the mandates. The hiring crisis, I think you can add some other government issues to it, the extension of unemployment, the eviction ban. I think that the government has facilitated ways for people to not have to work. Now, those things are drying up, and I do think it's a matter of time before people are going to be forced to go back to work. So I don't think the hiring freeze is, or the hiring crisis is, long term. But you could provide incentives. There are things that you can do. My bigger concern is the supply chain. You know, how do we restore the supply chain as quickly as possible? And here's the other thing. You know, Biden is getting blamed for the supply chain issues. He's getting blamed for the inflation. It seems to me that he would want to be focused on those things. And this is an opportunity for leadership. Just like COVID was an opportunity for leadership for the past president, the supply chain issue and the hiring crisis is an opportunity for leadership now. And these opportunities aren't always there for presidents. It's not always that you have issues that are impacting every American. These issues are impacting every American. And it just feels to me like both parties and their leadership have checked out. when it comes to this, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, you know, we also discussed whether or not Trump would be handling the supply chain issue better. I think that there's probably a good possibility of that. I have no evidence to support that, but I think there's a good possibility that he would look at it and, with his business background, have some better understanding of it and be pushing towards that. I think that's a good possibility. I don't know if Biden understands the supply chain, if he understands what's going on well enough. I just don't know. But again, I assign the blame today, tonight, I assign the blame to both sides, because both sides should be demanding and not demanding, but working and strategizing and coming up with a way to fix this issue, to get us out. The pandemic is not over, and the impact from the pandemic on all of the other aspects of life are still here. And it seems to me like we're acting like it's over, with the exception of vaccine mandates. We're acting like it's done. And I don't understand it. Do you guys understand? What is it? Nolan says you can always get another job, but you can't get another body. Again, the hiring crisis is, from all the information that I've seen, I shared with you, we had this conversation maybe 2 or 3 months ago about the Great Resignation and how 66% of Americans wanted to quit their job and find new work. And the people who have been researching that feel that the reason behind it is because when people go through a tragedy or a crisis, they tend to reassess their life. And so what was good for them in the past, what made them content, suddenly they're like, man, is this how I want to live the rest of my life? Is this how I want to, you know, man, I don't think I want to do this. I think I'm going to chase that dream, or I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And at any given time, you have 10 to 15% of the population going through this type of thing because of, family crises, financial crisis, cancer, illness, whatever. Well, the pandemic put everybody through it. And so you have fully 2/3 of the American people wanting to find new work. And that's what they're calling the Great Resignation. So that's one group of people. Then you have the hiring crisis. Where are the people that had these jobs before that are not coming back to work? And why aren't they coming back to work? And as I said, it is a small percentage because of vaccine mandates. So where's the government? Man, if ever there was a time for the White House to lead out, for Congress to lead out, it's just not happening. David says, hi. Hey, David. Andrew, do you think the situation will get worse when the OSHA mandate kicks in? Well, I think that you will have more people walking off the job. Yeah, I do. And that's, the date is January 4th, I believe. They spared the holidays, which is interesting for me. In fact, I read this in the story. Let's see here. I'll pull this up. This really stood out to me. Nearly 100 million U.S. workers will be required to get the COVID vaccine. This is from, is this ABC News I'm reading here? Yeah, ABC News. Okay. With some workers allowed to test weekly instead, and I think a lot of people will opt for the test weekly. The regulations are aimed at healthcare workers and businesses with 100 or more employees, covering 2/3 of the nation's workforce. Businesses don't comply could be fined $14,000 per infraction, and hospitals could lose access to Medicare and Medicaid dollars. It's part of Joe Biden's aggressive new plan to quell a pandemic that's overshadowed his presidency and hobbled the economy. At the same time, the January 4th date is a nod to industry groups that insisted the administration wait until after the holidays to impose mandates in the midst of a worker shortage. That's interesting to me. Because if you need mandates, if you have to get involved and you need mandates to save lives, do you give a nod to industries for the Christmas season? Doesn't that strike you as highly politicized? So basically what we're going to do, we believe the mandate is so important that we're going to force all employees to get it, but we're going to wait until the holidays are over to enforce it. Wow, that's really kind of shocking to me. It really is. And by the way, I don't know if you guys are, it's probably hard to read the comments on the screen the way they're appearing right now. I switched over to a new system, what a surprise, and I haven't reformatted the text. So I apologize if it's hard to read. Maybe we'll take a minute here and try and fix that. But I can read them just fine. So again, that seems very, very strange and very interesting to me. Let's see here. Nolan says, supply chain issue feels like it could be a smokescreen. Nolan, you're always looking for the the conspiracy, if that's what you're suggesting. Always. The supply chain is so easy to understand for me, and it's so obvious that it was going to happen, and it's so obvious why it's happening. And to me, there are some upfront, in-your-face solutions to solve the problem. Israel joining us on Facebook. Hey, Israel, I'm an electrical contractor. I can't find simple supplies like light switches and circuit breakers. Everything has gone up at least 300%. Yeah. This is the problem that is facing America today, President Biden. Democrats, Republicans, why don't you get together and focus on what the American people are going through right now instead of this down-the-road infrastructure bill? Just a thought. I don't know. Let's see. Nolan says, how come they waited until after the election on Tuesday to go forward with the mandate? It really was. Sorry, I got something in my eye. It really was that important. It should have been done well before November 4th. I don't know. I'll guess. It could be politics for sure, Nolan. For sure it could be politics. But I also think that they've spent a lot of time trying to find out if it's legal and if it's going to get challenged. And do they have support? Because many of the states are going to challenge it. So wanting to make sure they are legally sound. Kelly Croft says, stop pushing the fear of Washington. Goodbye. You are a part of the problem. The fear of Washington? I'm not promoting fear of Washington. I'm promoting a representative government. And that these people are there to represent us. And I'm suggesting, instead of fearing them, that you demand representation. And you get them to focus on your needs instead of political needs. It's not fear. And raising concerns, okay, if you think that's a problem, fine, Kelly, fine. But Americans are suffering right now, and I think it's the role of government in this case and during the pandemic. They have the tools to do some things. So asking them to do it, I believe, is part of my civic responsibility. You want to couch it as fear? Okay. I don't know where I told you to be afraid of Washington. I want you to take control of Washington. I want you to demand representation. Because that seems to me like that's not what we're getting. Let's see. Michael says, now they say you have to pay for your own testing if not vaccinated. Well, businesses will probably do that for sure. Ann Fisher says, Biden doesn't want to ruin Christmas. Well, you know, if people are dying and that's the reason See, this is kind of the logic that I'm going through. If you feel that it is so important to issue a vaccine mandate during a hiring crisis, which will chase people off the job, you feel it is that important to save lives, then Christmas should have no impact on that decision. If we're talking about a life and death scenario here, right? Am I wrong on that? I mean, tell me where I'm wrong on that. Orion says it's a conspiracy. Nick says Nolan is awesome. Ann says, what is your suggestion to fix supply chain issue? Great question. First of all, one of the biggest problems is at the docks. So Biden has tried to work with the docks and get them to open 24 hours, but it's not enough. It is not enough. There are so many ships stacked to the brim with supplies that are wandering around the ocean right now, waiting for a spot to come in so that they can be offloaded. And those containers are needing to go back so they can be refilled. So you have one cog in the supply chain, one problem, and it all piles up. So to me, step one, let's get the stuff off of the ships. And if we have to call the National Guard in to do that, if we have to pass special short-term stimulus, emergency actions to pay people, temporary labor forces, anything we can do to get those docks up and running and unloading that material as quickly as possible. There is no answer to the supply chain without unloading those ships first. That's step one. And that's why I was excited when Biden first acknowledged it, but then it just kind of went away. It's like, okay, I addressed it. I'm moving on. I think that it's the number one problem facing Americans right now as a whole. You may be facing much bigger issues, and I don't mean to downplay that. Nolan, what is your simple fix for the supply chain? Yeah, just said it. And I'm not pretending that that is the only fix. But the government has great power here. And they have great resources, resources we don't have. And they need to put those resources to work instead of focusing on these other things right now. My opinion. Orion says, necessity is the mother of invention. The lack of labor in the workforce is going to hasten the rise of automation. I bet automated semi-trucks are a thing on the interstate before long. And that's one of the problems, too, is it's hard to attract people into an industry that looks like it might be overtaken by automation. So there's a lot of other problems here. David says, or I'm sorry, this is Mary Jane. I understand that another problem is getting enough containers. Yes, unloading the ship should help that problem. That's right. So we're not making new containers. There's only so many containers in the world. So what happens is they get emptied and then they get sent back and they get filled and we fill them on this end and they send them back. When all those containers are filled waiting to be unloaded, the supply chain stops. It breaks down completely. So I just think, I mean, let's play if I were in the White House. I would be strategizing and possibly even doing daily briefings about what we're doing to solve the supply chain issue. This, to me, is what Americans care about right now and what businesses care about. And it's like it's not even happening. It's just not there. Michael says, not enough trucks to even come close to keep up, also a problem. But again, man, put in the National Guard, put in the military, do whatever you need to do. Orion says, we have our own inland port authority now. They should be loading trains with containers and taking them to our port to be processed. The other part of the problem is that every business and every industry, well, I shouldn't say every, but most, are using just-in-time supply chain methodology now. Because if you stock a bunch of material, that's all money that's tied up, sitting there. So to help cash flow, Everybody, grocery stores, businesses, suppliers, they all have a just-in-time supply chain. And it interfaces with their point-of-sale system, and they know when they're going to need product and when to ship it, and they ship just enough. And managers and operators are judged based upon how well they can manage a just-in-time system so that they're not tying up goods and services in warehouses, because that's all money just sitting there. And I think the pandemic has taught us all that, even in our own personal lives, because don't most of us also have a just-in-time system in our homes? We grocery shop for the next week or until the next paycheck. And we buy enough toilet paper for the next week or the next paycheck. So it's like the entire society is operating on a just-in-time system. And I think the pandemic has taught me and taught a lot of us that maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we do need to tie up some money and be prepared in the future, because this demonstrates how easily the entire supply chain can be disrupted. Heather says, California has also added to the problem. They won't allow trucks older than 10 years to drive. How many truckers will that put out of business? Ryan says, I work logistics once for an online retailer. My manager there talked the owner into investing in inventory instead of being a victim of supply chain problems and overnighting inventory. Yeah, the problem with that is cash flow. If you're outside of the business world, you hear about profit and loss. When you're inside the business world, depending on what level you're on, your number one concern is not profit and loss, it's cash flow. Because cash flow is what allows you to operate. That's what allows you to pay the bills, keep the lights on, pay the employees. So if you're profitable, but you don't have cash flow, you're not going to make it. I worked for a company back in Vegas. The guy was making huge money, but he couldn't get the insurance companies to pay him on time. And it almost caused him to go out of business several times, because cash flow is such a huge part of it. Cash flow. Again, I think this is a lesson for everybody. But man, if I'm in the White House, this is my focus. If I'm in Congress, this is my focus. I mean, if ever a time you can have an impact on the American people, this is it. Orion says, once a 2008 recession hit, demand for product dropped, and suddenly the cash flow dropped, and we were sitting on millions of inventory we couldn't move. Nathan says, for the last 20 years, manufacturing and engineering has been pushing lean manufacturing as well. It's all catching up. Yeah, it all works great when everything's hunky-dory. You know, our system works great as long as you can go to the grocery store and the stuff is on the shelves. But like, we were in Costco 2 weeks ago and there was no toilet paper. And that we were like, hey, there's no toilet paper. Fortunately, we didn't need any at the time. So this last time we went to Costco, there was toilet paper. And what do you think we thought? Maybe we better buy more this time, just in case. Is it, do we need to go to just in case or just in time? Probably a balance of both, right? Probably a balance of both. I'm going to try and fix that texting here quick. It's really bothering me. I don't know if it's bothering you guys. Let me see if I can do this quick on the fly here. I don't know why it's got that. Hang on. Show counter. Sorry, guys, to do this right here on the fly. I don't know why it is doing that. Oh, maybe that solved it already. Let's see. Hey, look at that. Tech support on the fly. Amazing. good thing we're not doing live radio. Well, we would have done it during a commercial break for live radio.
All right, so that's what I had for you on supply chain. I just don't understand it. I want to ask you another question now as we move on to the next topic. Where's the election fraud claims from the election that happened, 2 days ago? Where are they? Anybody? You hear any claims of election fraud? I hear Republicans celebrating. I hear Trump saying this is a victory for the Trump agenda. I hear celebrating and Republicans going, this is amazing. This is for our referendum, which isn't true. When you break down the numbers, some of it is true, but not all of it. Of course, you know, we're all going to take the breadcrumbs that you want. Nolan says two very different elections. Yeah, I know. In the last one, Trump lost, and he did what he's done in every election he's lost, and that is he claims election fraud. In this one, he feels his platform won. And so he's not claiming election fraud. He's claiming victory. What a surprise. What a surprise. Anybody else? There hasn't been any changes that I'm aware of to these election systems that were all suspect. There hasn't been any changes to mail-in ballots. And all of a sudden, it's like no big thing. What a shock. It just goes away. I wonder, I'll just wonder out loud, if this election went heavy towards Democrats, think there would have been claims of election fraud? I wonder. Orion says there's no fraud if you get what you want. Andrew says, what I find interesting was how wrong the polls are. Polling is becoming a very difficult thing to do nowadays. And polling has been off for a while. And they're trying to fix it. But for polling to be accurate, you have to have a good sample size. And in order to have a good sample size, you have to be able to dial enough people and enough people who represent the spectrum of that whatever you are polling. And with the fact that we are mostly carrying around mobile phones, and most of us have our phones now set to not announce unknown callers, but to ignore them, polling has become incredibly, incredibly difficult. And I think the accuracy is falling off. I'm getting close to the point now where I'm like, okay, either polling needs to figure out a new way to do this, or they just need to stop polling, and that's the end of polling companies, because they just can't get the sample sizes that they need. Ryan says, polling is getting harder because it's getting harder to get people to participate. No emails, no phone calls, no text messages. Pollsters are hitting a brick wall. It's exactly right. Osman I6 says, what do you think about communism? Wow, that's a rabbit hole. We try and stay on topic in the beginning of this show, and then after we've gone through the topics that are on my agenda, then we can go down the rabbit hole. I don't know if we want to go down the whole communism rabbit hole, though. That's quite the question. Interesting about election fraud claims. It's just amazing what happens when you actually win. Shocking. We had a conversation on Tuesday night. First, Nolan says, I think this election says more about the current state of the country in 2021 than it says about Trump or January 6th or fraud claims. I think Joe Manchin said it best. He said, we are a center-right country. And I think that's correct. But we are allowing the extremes on both sides to have all the power. And if you look at the largest political group in this country, it's independents. But somehow we feel trapped by this system, and so the extremes are still running the show. But I think that as the pendulum goes back and forth, and it always does, if you go back to Trump's first year, the one-year election, it swung heavy for the Democrats. And it's done this way as long as I've been covering elections. You get the president for whatever party in, and the first-year elections typically do not go towards that president. And part of it's because the opposing party, they mobilize, they can't believe they lost, so they're fired up and they're ready to go. And the other party's like, hey, we got what we wanted, so they're not as motivated. I would caution anybody to read too much into a one-year election that went the way that most one-year elections go with a new party in. Just my opinion on that. And oftentimes on the two-year, the midterm, it goes towards the other party. So I'm expecting Republicans to do very well in the 2022 election. And I think that all this stuff going on is certainly going to play into that. Let's see. Orion says, but of course you'd think they'd make an app for polling. The problem with an app for polling is that you can't get, when people volunteer for polls, you've already polluted the poll, because it's a different type of people that will answer polls. They'll download an app or whatever and participate in a poll. That's a different type of person. One of the reasons why polling can be effective when you can contact enough people is because you're reaching out to people who had no plans to take a poll. They're not seeking it. And so hopefully you get a first blush opinion. When you publish the poll somewhere for them to go to, you're automatically weeding out a certain part of the population. That's what makes polling so very, very difficult.